That would be fantastic if all of these things failed on stage, as long as I have the confidence to say, oh man, that wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. Oh man, that sucked. That sucked, didn't it? And ask people. And that makes it amazing. And that gets me out. That gets me to do it. That gets me to put up a bit that I think is the dumbest thing ever, and then find out after the show that was the best thing, that the people come up to me and say, that's my favorite thing you've done.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Between Dreams podcast. My name is Chris Ruggiero. I'm the host of this show. But more important than that is my guests. Every week I bring you amazing guests of entertainers, entrepreneurs, travelers, writers, anyone who is up to amazing things, living their dreams. People all over are dreaming big dreams. All I care about is people who are doing something about them, making stuff happen between dreams. That's life. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. This week's guest, Seth Word. He's a performer, entertainer here in Los Angeles and beyond. And what I was interested in chatting with him about and sharing with you is this idea of committing to an idea. He does really weird, crazy things on stage, and the only reason why they work, well, because they're really funny, but the other reason, one of the key parts of why they are funny and why the bits that he does are effective is because he commits to the character and he jumps in and as well as committing to it, he also is open to see. We talk about this, how sometimes something doesn't go how he planned or expected it to go, and the audience will drive him in a different way, and he has to make that decision, either go with the flow or kind of battle that and stick to his thing. And so many times, even if you guys aren't up on stage in life, things aren't going to go as they planned. Guess what? Surprise! Life happens and things don't happen as you plan or as you want them to all the time. And you gotta go with it. You got no other choice. You gotta go with it. You gotta make things happen. So this is a balance. I think it was so well illustrated in my conversation. And, you know, this balance of committing to things, but then also on the other side of that balance is being flexible to go with the flow and make things happen. So thank you for listening, being part of this. And I know I've been like kind of half asking you guys to go over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/betweendreams, because we're trying to raise some money to keep this podcast going. And we need some help. And I'm trying to figure out what the rewards are for you guys to be enticed to contribute to the show. And what I'm really looking for, so here's the deal. What we're looking for is $1 per episode. It's not very much. At the end of the month, it's like getting a cup of coffee, except you get a podcast episode every week. So we'll figure that out. I'll talk more about that at the end. I want to get right into this. And so thank you guys for listening. Here it is, my conversation with Seth Word. Thank you for listening to the Between Dreams podcast. Here we go.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Between Dreams podcast. I'm Seth Word, and I'm here with your boy, Chris.
I didn't have to do my own intro.
I did it for you.
You did it for me. Thanks for being here. We're in a bathroom.
Oh, that's a cute bathroom, which is all that matters.
So we are backstage in the bathroom at Scott Neri's Booby Trap show, which is the place that I came across your performance.
Yeah.
you do a really interesting type of show and performance. For people that have never seen you, how would you describe what you do?
I'd say it's some type of absurdist character work that I like to get into it's more committed than anything else. So some of the bits and some of the ideas that I try to work through are very, very stupid, but I commit to that stupidity and hopefully create something that's worthy of people's time. But that's always a question too. So
So what's the actual thing, like a little bit more, if people have never seen you, like, what is the thing?
I've got characters that I do. It's just essentially character work. So it's anything that you'd see as something on like an SNL or any kind of sketch comedy show, character-based bit sketches. But I take the characters out and they're either doing some sort of crowd work or some sort of clown bit that I try and make work in different variety shows around LA. And in Scott Neary's Booby Trap, I essentially am trying to accomplish comedy in 4 minutes, which sometimes these characters definitely, I've never workshopped them that short. So they start the bit and then I don't quite get to finish it, or but sometimes they're a success. And I think that's really the testament of the show is, can you be successful in a short amount of time? And if you can, then bada bing, bada boom, you've got something, right?
Yeah. I think this show is cool for me because it is, I try to do as much as I can in 4 minutes.
Right.
Like 4 minutes for a juggler is like one act.
Yeah, one bit. Yeah,
and I try to do like, or like one prop or whatever, mm-hmm. and I do like four.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I can't believe you. Yeah, you don't fall on that ball.
Well, you not yet.
Not yet. Tonight
we do have a show tonight.
Chris falls on the ball.
He looked tired, like he was hanging out. He was up there in the bathroom for a while.
Hey, welcome to the bathroom.
People are walking in
Our
the bathroom.
Our first customer.
My first guest.
Yeah, this is the bathroom podcast. Come, you are welcome to use the urinal. Oh shit!
Well, we made it 3 minutes until someone else walked in the bathroom. Aren't there locks on this bathroom?
He didn't even like.
Didn't even
use
knock.
The
We're gonna lock well, the bathroom.
True. He didn't knock, and then when I offered him to use it, promising to close our eyes, he refused.
So what's the craziest thing that has happened, I guess probably unexpectedly would be the best way to ask that on while you're on stage?
I'd have to really dig through the archives of my mind to give you an accurate answer, but I think one of the first times I ever did this character that had, he's a freak, a circus freak born without any lips, and he's just drooling all over the place, and I eat stuff and that just kind of just smears all over my face, but he's always super chippy and happy. And I think the first time that I did that and found this moment where I was asking the audience, you know, I've never had a kiss before. It sure would be great to get a kiss tonight. And there was like 10 people who like immediately rushed the stage. And I was like, what is wrong with you? I had a whole thing after no one wanted to kiss me and like a whole extended bit. But it was just immediately there were so many people. And I was like, wow. And I think that was maybe just, I guess it was me doing a good job at making this character vulnerable and like somehow relatable, even though he was this freakish of a child, boy, man thing that was just really happy and but also sad and wanted to experience life, and there were like a plethora of people who wanted to help him experience it. So yeah. I guess that was weird. And then yeah, somebody made out with me like with no lips. I mean, it's hard to make out when you don't have lips, but they were licking the drool off my chin.
So That's an interesting thing when you're doing a type of performance that can you don't real like you're in
that can
control
fail.
But you're not
yeah
you're kind of leaving the decision up to the audience
yeah
and sometimes they don't choose the path that you expect them to
right.
That's the most interesting to me because so much of my stuff is I have a point A to point B. There's
right.
interaction sometimes with the audience,
mm-hmm.
but I still pretty much control where they're going. It's pretty much, hey, watch me do this.
Totally.
Maybe you can participate a little bit,
yeah.
but I know exactly where we're going to go. So where does that like mentally in your mind when, you know, there's a lot of people just don't experience that feeling of, oh, I have this whole thing planned. Or sure. There are people in that aren't performers that can probably think about that. They walking into a bar and, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Right, right.
And then the other people, you know, when you leave it up to the other people, that could either be really bad or that could be a really cool night when you just like, oh, this isn't anything what I expected it to be. So I don't, it doesn't need to relate back to real life, but yeah, just in that moment. That's an interesting thing because I know what's like on stage and how fast your brain can work through like impossible scenarios. And so you're up there, you say, oh, I can go this way and like just force them back to where I want to go. Or I can let these people guide me. And then you just like have this thing and you just kind of grab one and that's where you go.
Yeah. I think that the key to any kind of audience interaction is kind of the basics of improv in general. And that's just listening and letting whatever's happening now be the thing that's actually happening and the thing that you lead yourself into. And you always have stuff in your back pocket, but I think the most successful audience interaction is the ones where you're letting them decide what's happening in the moment. You're letting them figure out what's happening now and what's really the core essence of this moment is what they're telling you, what they're giving you, because that's where I feel like that's where the magic happens in any kind of audience interaction. I adore magicians. I adore jugglers. I adore anyone who has spent so long perfecting this trick, this skill-based, amazing feat that they've done. Cause I haven't spent nearly as much time on anything particular as somebody who can do that. But I think one thing that I have spent a ton of time on is figuring out how to force my brain not to overthink things on stage. And whenever something presents itself, I know that it's that's the better choice than anything that I maybe in my back of my mind or anything that I'm like thinking about. This will lead to this, will lead to this, will lead to this. I feel like good audience interaction is when you can erase all of that and only go with what's happening in that very moment. So if somebody yells out at you, you know, a heckler or whatever, if somebody tries to completely overturn whatever bit you're doing, a lot of people will just ignore them. Or a lot of people will be like, okay, shut up, sit down, like force them or control them into doing it. And that's fine, especially if they've got some kind of skill-based bit or something that they're really leading onto. But basic clowning is following the fun and following what's happening, the detours, like following the detours to get to wherever you're going. Like, that's where the real magic comes in, is like, how did we get there? How did that happen? And really it was just because they told you to, they presented it. The heckler told you that they were done with this. So you ask why, or you know, you enjoy that moment because the failure that you find in that, if there is potential failure, is beautiful. It's just beauty. It's pure magic to be able to fail on stage because it's automatic vulnerability. It's automatic. The audience is automatically on your side if you genuinely are open and vulnerable like that. So I gabbed for a good 2 hours. I went into that.
So there's a couple things that are interesting in that of the where people, you know, like typical post that you see is something like, screw the hate, don't listen to what the haters are saying.
Sure.
You know, like ignore people who are telling you negative things and just listen to people that are telling you awesome things. But then there's a side of that I was like, well, if a bunch of people are telling you something like that, it's crap. Like it's there's probably a reason for good feedback and bad feedback on stage or whatever. Like I said, there's people who listen who never been on stage and don't know what that's like, but they've been in life, which is the same thing.
Right.
They go up and like, hey, every time I go up to talk to a girl, she like just ignores me and like takes a fake pretentious texting someone.
Sure.
You could say, well, don't listen to anyone who's like that. That's not the type of girl. Well, maybe you're doing something. Maybe you're being an asshole.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what if they do know better? You know, I'm not up there for me.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I sometimes, people, there's a lot of performers who are like, well, screw the crowd. I'm just going to do what I want to
do.
But you can do that in your basement.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. You're like, you're up there for them. So if they say, hey, we want this to happen.
Yeah.
It's your job to, you know, you have your show too.
Right.
But it's kind of your job to go where they, if you can do it.
Yeah.
And it can be good.
Well, I think even just acknowledging it is good enough. Like, not necessarily like, hey, I want you to take your clothes off. Let me see your dick. Like, you're not going to just show them your dick. You're going to be like, hey, everyone, this person right here, they want to see my dick. Aren't they weird? Like, and call them, you know, like, you let them have, they needed to have that, or the audience needed you to acknowledge them in that moment. Otherwise, you skip past beautiful moments that, like, that's such an awesome moment to have somebody yell out and be like, take off your clothes. Like, you don't want to just be like, ignore them.
Yeah.
You want to acknowledge that that happened just now. They said that. Or any other number of reasons, but or number of examples you could go down. But yeah, in life, that I completely agree with you. There's moments where you always have to be listening. Like, anyone who's deaf to reality will never succeed.
Yeah.
And on stage, you just have to keep open ears at all times to know what is the reality that you're in right now. What is the audience telling you, whether it's facial expressions or actual hecklers or not laughing? Like, any number of things are things you do need to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me kind of a previous guest, Sean Emery, who is technically a juggler, but he likes to be called an entertainer.
Yes.
And he talked about how the greatest feeling after his show is if he looks back at his case full of props and realizes if there's a lot of them that he didn't get to use.
Yeah.
That he knows that is always... was always a good show.
A good show.
When
that's
he didn't
great.
Get to do all the stuff that he wanted to do.
Totally. That's that idea of, like, the beauty and the fun is in the detours. It's like, if you're killing it without your planned bit, that means you found something better.
Yeah.
And that something better you would have never been able to write in your apartment at home, like, figuring it out. Like, what am I going to do on stage? You found something better. But you still did it. Like, you're not copying somebody's work. You're not doing whatever. You're creating something there and then. So, yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, that's... what else did he say? He said something else that I was just thinking of that I forgot now. He said something about sometimes he'll have, like, he'll be nailing juggling tricks, and he says his wife will come up afterwards. He's like, yeah, that was a good show, but it felt a little too juggly.
Yeah.
It's elaborating on the same thing. It's the same point of that, of, you know, so we think about all these things, whether it's writing jokes or juggling tricks or something, like, that's what it is. People are going to like you for being, as you said, in the moment, and just being there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Switch gears out of specific stuff, like on stage, what's a really cool just overall experience that you got to do or be part of because you said yes to something?
Oh, man.
I feel like we see so many things. Yeah. That, like, there's a lot of things, like gigs that I said yes to or something, and then I'm like, you know, hesitant about it. You're driving to it or flying to it or whatever.
Totally.
And you're just like, why am I here?
Right,
and then you meet somebody after the show or something, and you're like, oh, man, I was this close to just turning around and going home before the show started.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so glad I stayed and experienced this and met this person or did this something, whatever.
Totally.
That stands out to you?
I think my biggest thing, which ended up, this is pretty much what I do as a performer, is I perform in music festivals around California and other parts of the nation. I perform with a group called the Jive Joint, and I remember getting asked to do some videography for them at one of Coachella, like, years ago. And I was excited to do it just because I'd never been to Coachella, but also I was interested to see what their show was. It was some friends of mine. And then ended up performing the night that I was supposed to be videoing because one of the main dudes, Ross, wasn't there the first night. And so I kind of took his place for a hot second, the first show. And they liked what I was doing, and then ended up performing the rest of Coachella, and then they brought me on to the next festival, and then now that's what I'm doing most of the time when I'm performing for the Jive Joint, and it's opened up so many different like weird performance venues, weird performance moments. Like I've never performed for so many young, like, probably intoxicated, but very open to whatever's happening, very welcoming, and a lot of them too. Like, it's a massive audience. Very little shows that I do in LA, I get more than like 15 people come to. So it was a huge experience getting to perform for this completely different type of audience and completely different type of environment. And now I've gone all over the nation in like different festivals and different gigs like that through the Jive Joint. And that was all from just one, like, yeah, I'll do some video work for you guys in exchange for a moment at Coachella. And so that one, I think, is the biggest. That was, I think, the biggest thing. I'm sure there was a cooler, like, I climbed on the top of a mountain and I like jumped on an eagle and. It took me
no, that's really cool. Just that initial thing of that opened the door because you said yes to something you were interested, you know, just showing up.
Yeah, it was pretty much, yeah, showing up.
And that, yeah, sure, I'll help whatever, film or whatever, yeah. You know. And it's like, I find that with so many things. Doing the podcast, reach out to people. Like,
yeah,
I talk about this a lot, this idea of just momentum. It doesn't matter. I talked about it in the last week, last podcast, of just do something.
Sure. Yeah.
No, you know, it's the most basic thing, even outside of like humans, of physics.
Uh-huh. They
start something moving, mm-hmm. and it's going to keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And if it's stopped, it's really hard to start moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So do something. That literally doesn't matter what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just
if you're creating.
Email. Like, today I emailed probably 25 people asking them to hire me for something that I've never done before.
Or you're
that
a
I've never
now?
Gotten
you're a
hired for.
That's great.
Like, and it's actually the opposite of that. It's like video work. Like,
oh, cool.
I try
yeah.
to make videos for people.
Right, 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 right.
And I just said, I'm. You know, hey, I showed him some the stuff uh-huh. that I've filmed
yeah, yeah.
and made like a thing that feels probably a little bit more professional than
right.
I am. But I did all that.
Right. Totally.
So I said, hey, this is what I can do.
Uh-huh.
And I would you have a cool brand and I would love to make videos for you.
Dude, that's great, man.
So I was like, that was hard to do. It would have been a lot easier not to do that.
Oh, sure,
and
sure.
Like, I don't know how to do this. And I feel like I'm half qualified to
right.
even do it if uh-huh. they say yes. But then I was like, well, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Sure, sure.
The worst that's going to happen is they say yes.
Yeah.
We're going to hire you to make a video. And
yeah.
then I figure it out.
Yeah, and you got to do
and
that
And then even
video.
After, like, it's not going to... I'm not going to, like, not do a good job.
Sure, sure, sure,
so
sure.
So just jump in. It's like, start doing something. And then cool stuff happens. Like, showing up at Booby Trap at a show that... You know, sometimes there's a great audience. Sometimes it's a mediocre audience. Everyone's always appreciative. Mediocre as in size. It's
right,
all, everyone who ever comes loves the show. But sometimes
yeah.
it's a small crowd. Sometimes a big crowd.
Yeah.
You know, we drive across Los Angeles at rush hour
yeah,
to be
yeah.
here. Like, lose money and gas
yeah,
to be
true.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and everyone, Scott, everyone involved is doing it for something more than just...
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something more to being here, and
yeah.
That says something about what Scott's doing and what all the performers are.
Totally,
17 performers or something tonight that all did
oh,
that
yeah,
to be
exactly.
here to create something, and not that everyone's in it to get something, but the things that have come to me out of this show. And just tonight's a 2-year anniversary of the show, and I've met so many, like this a world of LA performers that I would have never met.
Yeah,
Scott has given me opportunities that led to being on TV and you know gigs and all these things, and that I wouldn't have known you. Then I was at this video screening in your backyard.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And like that was like a crazy thing that I totally and even fun. Going to that, I was like, oh, I don't really, I'm not gonna know everyone there.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's not even like a venue, it's literally your
backyard. My backyard.
And I was like, I really almost didn't want to go,
because
I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to knock on the front door, where do I go in? There's all these stupid things in your brain, and you show up and you're like, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, totally. No, I need to do more of those kind of things where it's just like, go get out there, do it. There's like a collection of shows that I've been hearing about or that my friends put on or that I've had opportunities to like be on but didn't get to actually be on them. So I was like, I'll go support. And I haven't gone out yet. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I got to get out there. There's like, it's like a handful of these that I know they're good shows.
Yeah.
And, so I think, it's inspiring to hear you say that. Cause now I'm going to be like, all right, this week I'm going to go to one of these shows that I'm needing to go to. Cause I know that they're going to be good. I just haven't.
Yeah. Well, it does take that. And that's for people listening. There's something in the accountability of it too.
Yeah.
Cause I know there's a lot of people listening who are trying to decide, a lot of the listeners, they like want to start doing something.
Sure.
And they love hearing these conversations. I'm talking to people who are out doing stuff.
Sure.
And that's really inspiring to everyone. And it's great to hear that same thing too. Cause we all see, like, people see me out. I try to get out and about a lot and like, oh wow, you do this.
Right.
And like,
right.
But then I want them to know that like, it's really hard for me to leave the house. Like there are nights when I don't leave. There's been nights I went to this comedy shows right near my house, but I like took a shower and went, and then I was a little bit late. I was like 15 minutes late, so I would have had to like walk in during it. And then I like walked to the door. I was like peeking in through the window, and I was like, nope, can't do it.
I
walked back home, and I was like, if the world could see this like struggle that my brain just went through.
You had a nope moment.
But people think, oh, you know, I get up on stage, the most outgoing person, but I couldn't walk in this public place that a comedy show was happening.
Right.
They would have been so happy if another person walked in.
Oh, you know what? This was even a better story that happened just recently. I was at a very small music festival, and we performed the night before, and then I stayed the night later because I wasn't sure if my other team, we were going to be doing things, and another team had some bits that they were putting up, and they were doing their show, and it was a lot of fun, but I was holding back because I was like waiting for another one of my comedian friends that I do the Jive Joint with, and he fell asleep, so he was like, he's not getting out of his slumber mode to come play. And so I was sitting back there, and I was like, I could go home right now, like drive it. It's an hour 15 minutes home. It's already late. It's like 12 a.m. Or I could like go out there and do a bit or two and play and just see what's happening. And I made the decision, I'm gonna go like just say hi on stage, as I was backstage at the time. And I just jumped out on stage, grabbed the mic, and like had a blast. Had like, it was super fun. But even then, like, I'd already been on that stage the night before. I'd already performed at that festival. Everything was chill. But for some reason, the next night, I was like, I should just go home. It's not necessarily my thing, or it's like, I don't have my co-host kind of a guy character. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to, am I going to go out there and ruin their show? Am I going to? And it was quite literally confidence that it was boiled down to.
Yeah.
The idea that everything I do is going to work out if I have the confidence in myself to do it. And just like a little injection, even if it's fake confidence, right before you go out and do it, can go so far, I think. Yeah. And that's what I do that every now and then, where I'm just like, oh, this is going to be horrible. I don't have this bit planned at all. I don't have the ending to this bit. I just made this costume and it could fall apart as soon as I walk on stage. And that would be horrible. And then I have to tell myself, like, if it falls apart on stage, if I don't have an ending, if I, this, all the worst case scenarios that could have happened, that would be the best case scenario. Like, that would be so funny. That would be fantastic if all of these things failed on stage, as long as I have the confidence to say, oh man, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sucked. That sucked, didn't it? And ask people. And that makes it amazing. And that gets me out. That gets me to do it. That gets me to put up a bit that I think is the dumbest thing ever. And then find out after the show, that was the best thing that the people come up to me and say, that's my favorite thing you've done. And then it's like, wow, that's crazy. That's the exact opposite of what I thought before I got on stage.
Yeah. That perspective change of put yourself in what's the worst case that could happen is really interesting.
Right.
Because
right.
That can do. And then, I'm trying to think of an example, but there's been so many things where, you know, you say something by accident on stage and it gets the bigger laugh and you're that's a joke?
I meant to say that.
Yeah. They thought that was a joke. And I, you know, so now I know that that works as a joke or something.
Exactly.
And just in general, that perspective change of like, what's the worst that could happen? What if that's just great?
Yeah.
My friend Matt Cooper, who was a mentalist in New York City, wrote this blog post. I don't know if it was his idea or he was talking about somebody else. It was, what if you could guarantee you always get the greatest, the most ideal parking spot in every parking lot you ever get to? That'd be incredible. Like, that would be like if you had three wishes for your whole life. Yeah, that might be one of them.
Yeah.
But what's the greatest parking spot? Everyone says, well, the one that's closest.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay, that's something.
Sure.
But what if the greatest parking spot is the one that's furthest away?
Yeah.
Now, you just changed your perspective.
Sure,
and you have the greatest, for the rest of your life, the greatest parking spot every time you enter a parking spot, lot, is now reserved for you.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it's... then it was like, you know, these people are going to this parking lot. Half the time it's to the gym to work out.
Right.
Or something, you know?
Sure.
It's actually, what's the worst? You know, do you save that 3 minutes by driving through the extra aisles?
Yeah, right.
And then you're frustrated and you like are in a bad mood to get the front spot? Like, what if you just get in, pull in that back spot and be like, all right, they'd always save this one for me.
Yeah.
And you're happy and you skip into the store wherever you're going.
Yeah.
And that's like maybe an extreme example, but in every piece of life that is, you know, what's the worst that's possibly going to happen right now? Like, I'm stuck in traffic and I'm going to be late to this thing and you're like freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we'll put some music on. Like, you're going to be late either way.
Yeah.
Enjoy like some music
and then
be late and say you're sorry.
Sure.
And that like ruins a lot of people's day.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever it is. I think that's just change of perspective.
It's hard.
There's like the thing of like nothing's bad though.
The theory.
Nothing inherently is good or bad. Nothing that ever happens is good or bad. Like you could say, well, I fell off this cliff and broke both my legs.
Sure.
Well,
you flew for a
really
couple
bad. It was really fun while I was falling. The falling
but you
wasn't
were flying.
But then, you know, you hear these stories of all people who live through tragedy, and then they're like, "But now, I appreciate being alive." So, like, or they say, "Well, now my life's ruined because I can never walk." So, like, it wasn't that wasn't bad. Even the things that it's like a generic thing, but
right,
things people think, "Well, there's no good from that," and then you see somebody living, you know, after a tragedy and that can't walk or something or whatever the example is. And they're like, this is the greatest. Mm-hmm. I'm living a better life than I ever could have imagined. So
yeah,
that whether it's on stage or off stage perspective.
Totally.
See, you can pick and you can pick.
And you have the choice you can do.
Your
you make
brain
your
can
life.
Choose.
You can choose. All right.
What do you tell for people who want to be a comedian or a physical performer or whatever they're trying to do, as someone who's out doing it? We're here in Los Angeles. Yeah. We're about to do a weird show, variety show on a Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
We're doing a podcast in the bathroom upstairs.
Yep.
So like we're just doing the stuff. Like we're doing the stuff.
Yeah.
People are living in other places saying, I want to do that stuff.
I think that we live in a time where there's more opportunities to actually do than there ever was before. There's more shows, especially variety shows. Now, used to be there was barely any variety shows. Even like 3 years ago in LA, there was very few variety. There's the internet that has, like, YouTube's not the only platform to put up video content. There's no Twitch. There's Amazon Video allows you to upload, like, the things you wouldn't even think about because they're not super popular. They are actual opportunities. Every app, I feel like you can upload a video or you can get your voice out there. And so what I say to that is there's some that are extremely low risk that you don't have. You're just doing. You're just putting it out there. You're working on it and you're practicing. There's some that are high risk, like being able to perform to a crowd of 100 plus people that maybe you have access to, maybe you don't. But that's maybe a little more high risk because you have immediate failure in your face if you do, and that's scary to some people. But the fact of the matter is that doing it is easy as soon as you shift your perspective and as soon as you decide that you have enough confidence to do it. And everyone should have that confidence because everyone is available, is capable of creating. And so just the idea, I think, is that there's a ton of opportunities. So choose one, choose a couple, and just start doing them. Because you have them. Other people might, like, years in the past, maybe there weren't as many. Maybe years in the future, there aren't as many. I don't know. Maybe there was, but as far as the way I see it right now, there's a plethora of opportunities to put your voice out there and do it. Because the only way to actually succeed in anything is to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And finding that voice, figuring out, how do you do it uniquely? How do you make your style the first thing that people see? How do they know that you're doing something original? And that's just from you figuring it out by doing it over and over again. One of the reasons like that I do music festivals, that I had such an enjoyable time doing that, was because I had so much stage time and I had so many opportunities to try this, try that, try that. And I felt like I was able to like craft my voice like on a like macro scale rather than like having to do little bitty bits around town for years to try to figure out what I do. At this music festival, I was able to perform for 8 hours in a row if I wanted to, just doing anything and everything. So do that. Figure out what that is and do it. You could perform 24 hours on YouTube live.
Right.
Just get on Facebook Live and perform. You can perform however long. You have no limit. There's no limit of how long you can perform on there.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd say. Long-winded. Maybe you can edit that to be more precise.
No, that's great. And that last bit was the best because I know someone was thinking in there, well, yeah, easy for you to say. You know all these people and you live in L.A.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who don't know, but it's like I was in high school before there was YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Before there was Instagram, definitely.
Yeah.
Before there was Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and I was playing in bands, and I was renting out fire halls and getting my high school band buddies together, and we were putting on concerts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I know that's like not really happening anymore, but.
You were hustling.
That
man.
Was, yeah. You know, and that pieces of that are why I can do what I do now
because
I learned the kids want to see this and it was a completely different world, you know, playing music, but it was like I could have said, well, I don't own a venue.
Right,
the venues won't hire me because I'm a high school kid in a band.
Right.
And I can't, you know, whatever. I don't know how to do any of this, but I knew how to, for like $175, rent out the basement of the fire hall.
Sure.
And put like, then we were like, we don't need to get that many people to come to pay $4.
Right, to get
like to make, you know, $8 a piece.
Right. Exactly.
Like, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
So, and now people can literally go on their phone that I know every 11-year-old and above has a phone that has the internet on it. If you're listening to this, not every 11-year-old. If you're listening to a podcast,
you're probably 11 years
old. Kind of obnoxious to say. But if you're listening to a podcast, you have a phone that has internet and you can go on Facebook Live or whatever and present. I'm just repeating what you said. There's literally no excuse unless there's the lack of confidence, as you said.
Right. Which in that case, manufacture it.
Right.
Pretend like you have confidence, because that's all confidence is. It's fake confidence. Confidence is just fake. All of that is fake. Yeah. So pretend for a hot second that you are awesome, and then you become awesome. It's as easy as that, Chris.
There it is. All right. We have a show to do. We need to go back downstairs and do a show.
Yes.
For people that want to find out more of you, where's the one or two spots that you would like them to come to?
My YouTube is the best place. So if you go to squeth.com, it'll redirect you, squeth, or just youtube.com/SethWord. And that's where I do all my video stuff. I got sketches and whatnot. And that's my best thing. Or Facebook, SethWord Allison, www.facebook.com/SethWordAllison. And that's it.
Very good. That's good. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks for joining. You guys can check that out. If you're ever in LA, come see us.
Yeah!
We'll be doing stuff. Do stuff, guys. There it is. Thank you for listening. So what do you think? Are you inspired? Are you ready to commit to whatever it is that you are thinking about doing? Remember, the only way that things work is when you commit to them and make them happen. So whatever you're doing in life, whether it's getting up on stage or not, whatever piece of the world that you are fitting into and working on, there is the same advice for everything. Jump in, make things happen, commit to it, but also be flexible to go with the flow and gracefully accept challenges and speed bumps and hurdles and whatever else gets thrown at you, because it's coming at you. Stuff's coming at you. And so I wanted to also give a little bit more info. I mentioned it at the beginning, the Patreon page. I'm still trying to figure out what the rewards are. So if you guys have ideas of things that you would want as like bonus content outside of the normal weekly episodes, and I know they're almost weekly right now. And the deal is with this is this podcast takes a lot of time, effort, energy, and money to make. You know, I need to have gear and microphones and hosting the files. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. I know it sounds simple, but there's a lot of things that happen that require a lot of effort, energy, time, money, all those things. And I'm so pumped that I get to do this and meet amazing people and share their stories. But it takes a lot of time out of my week when I can be doing other things that I need to do, like make money. You guys, like, I gotta go to work. So the only way that I make money is by doing shows and performances and making TV appearances and working on just, so it's always hustle. I'm always going out and creating these opportunities. And those things that I do allow me to fund things like this, the podcast and my YouTube channel where I share stories and, you know, write books and all these other things that that I really like to do that don't necessarily support themselves in their own thing. So what we're asking is if you guys are enjoying this content of audio podcasts and you're being inspired and you think it's valuable, would you consider going over to patreon.com/betweendreams and donating something like $1 per episode. Now, you only get charged when a podcast episode is released. So if there's a week where I, for some reason, don't release a podcast, you don't get charged. You only get charged when a podcast episode gets released. So if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, you're not going to get charged for the rest of your life for podcasts that don't come out. I hope that doesn't happen, but I know it's a concern. You're like, what if he gets hit by a bus? There's not that many buses in LA. There's some, but, you know, it's not going to happen. But just in case you were worried about that. So, yeah, it really helps. You know, I've got a lot of great feedback from the podcast, and I know people are enjoying it, and I sure am enjoying it. And all the guests say they get amazing feedback from you guys, listeners. So we really appreciate everything that you guys are doing. But we need a little help, and I also want to get better gear. Like better gear so I can make the show sound better, make it a little bit more of a production so it sounds more like a proper real radio show. And that is going to take some cash dollars. So think about this. You go out to Starbucks and you buy your dumb sugary drink that costs like $4 or $5 and it's gone within an hour and then your stomach hurts. You didn't get that much out of it and it costs $4 or $5. So at the end of the month, you listen to me chat with four guests, it'll cost the same thing, $1 per episode if you want to contribute to that. Consider that. Of course, it's never going to have to cost money. The episodes are always for free. You can listen to these episodes and all the previous episodes for free. That's never going away. We're just for people that are able to throw a couple bucks a month, that would be amazing and would really help us. I know it's not fun asking people to give me money for, you know, I know you got stuff to buy of your own and you work hard for your money. So that's not why we're doing it. This is just like to sustain itself so that I can have proper microphones and, you know, work on the proper stuff on my, like the edit software that I need to use on my computer, all that stuff that you don't care about. I don't know why I'm telling you. You don't care about it. I'm just trying to tell you that. It's not like I'm making all this money from the podcast and going and spending it, but on like things that I want to, like fancy things. Just trying to keep this sustainable. So again, thank you guys always for listening and supporting and coming up and saying hello to me when you see me at events and giving me feedback on the podcast. And if you can contribute $1 per episode, head over to patreon.com/betweendreams and do that. And and as well, like I'm going to figure out different ways for you to get stuff out of that. So in addition to just that, you'll get bonus content. I'm just not sure what you want. So if you are considering dropping the dollar and if you want to wait until I can commit to giving you something, send me a message. Send me an email. Ruggiero.Christopher@gmail.com or go to chrisruggiero.com and click the contact form, whatever. You know how to get me. You guys are smart. You guys are smart! All right. I just talked for like 4 minutes about stuff that maybe you care about, but that's it. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys soon. New episode will be coming. So I already know this one. The next episode after this, if you're listening to this in real time as they are released, the next episode is going to be with my new friend Kyle Kesterson, who lives in a van. He lives in a van, and he was able to give me a tour of his van and chat about life on the road, and it's going to be amazing. You guys are going to love that. So thanks for listening. My name is Chris Ruggiero. This is the Between Dreams podcast. You guys rock. I'll talk to you soon, and goodbye.